Hey everyone, welcome to the Unhandled Exception podcast. I'm Dan Clark and this is episode number 6. So you may have noticed in some of the past episodes, I've mentioned the DDD conferences once or twice. So given these are such great events, I thought it would be nice to have an episode to talk about them. And joining me today is not just one, not just two, not three, not four, but five guests. There's lots of waving going on in the webcams. So before we go around and introduce everyone, let's start with a quick intro into what the DDD conferences are all about. So DDD stands for Developer, 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 and there are a series of community conferences that occur both in the UK and also Melbourne and Sydney in Australia, and I think there might be other places as well. And they all tend to follow key principles, which can be found on their Wikipedia page. They're free, they're always on a Saturday. It's an open submission process, so anyone could submit to do a talk, and it's a democratically chosen agenda, so that there's like a voting process in place. So one thing I've personally found with these being free and on a Saturday is that the people who attend really tend to be very passionate about software development. They're not just there because they've been sent with work, which might happen with a paid conference and it's during a weekday. So there's a really strong community vibe, and I always look forward to going and catching up with devs who I've met with previous DVDs. So rather than me going around introducing everyone, we're just going to do a quick go around the virtual table and let everyone introduce themselves. So we're going to go first name, alphabetical order. So I guess that means that I'm going first, which is fine because I can just delegate to episode number one, which introduces me and introduces the podcast. But for DDD, I've been to quite a few now and I've done a couple of talks there too. So I've got a few blog posts about my experiences both as a guest and as a speaker, which I'll try and dig out for the show notes. So next up is Jess White. So it's my pleasure to welcome Jess White onto the show, director and organizer of the DDD East Midlands Conference. So welcome to the show, Jess.
Thank you. Yeah, I co-run DDD East Midlands with my partner, Morton. And this year we've also been joined by Rachel because it turns out recruiters are excellent at sales and much better than devs. They also enjoy it more than we do. And we have run one event, which was very eventful, and we wanted to do this year, but it's been postponed because of COVID.
Well, I know we'll definitely be talking about that a bit later. So next we have Paul Michael, so a regular DDD attendee, organizer and founder of the Mini Hacks events, which, whilst not DDD, it's something we can definitely touch on later. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, so I was trying to find some evidence of the first time I attended. I think it was 2012 I first went to DDD North, but Twitter doesn't keep your history for that long, so can't assert that.
I didn't know Twitter lost your history. So we've also got Peter Gallagher. So if the name sounds familiar, Pete actually joined us in episode number 4, where we talked about teaching kids to code. I'm really glad we didn't put you off too much, Pete, and you've decided to return, so welcome to the show.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that show, actually. Obviously, it's a topic that is close to my heart, so I don't mind. Now, does that make me the most appeared Unhandled Exception podcast guest now, being as I'm on 2? And so, you know, I've got to have something over Jess at this point because she's winning at the Glasgow show. So I like that. Yeah, as far as DDD, I think I've only been going I've only been speaking a couple of times for a couple of years, but I did go to, I think it was DDD Southwest. I want to say Oxford, maybe one of the first that I went to. I'm not sure how long it had been running before that, but that was Oxford or Cambridge. I'm feeling it was Cambridge, actually. It was really good. I went with a couple of the .NET Knots people who were running it at the time. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was dead good, but I'd never been to an event like that because everything was spread out and different rooms, different tracks, and it was really hard for a first timer to understand which ones to go and see. And it was definitely a case of the grass is greener. You come out of one and go, oh, I really wish I'd gone to see that other one. Or yeah, it was a good thing.
Yeah, there's so much fun. I think the Cambridge one is called DDD East Anglia, if I remember correctly. Okay, so next up we've got Simon Painter, also known as Mad Simon J on Twitter. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Yep, I've been doing DDDs for, I think it's coming on to about, I think I'm bordering on 2 years now. I think that's about right. I've kind of, yeah, I did one complete loop of, I think I've done most of them in the UK, and then I would have the second time around, but there's been something going on, some sort of reason. I'm finding that they're not running all that much this year. Something, I don't know what.
I can't possibly think what that might be. And last but certainly not least, we've got Stuart Lang, so organiser of .NET Southwest, F Sharp Bristol, and also the DDD Southwest, helping out organising that DDD conference. So welcome to the show, Stuart.
Thank you. Yes. So I attended my first DDD event, DDD Southwest back in, I think, 2014. And I absolutely loved it because up to that point, I was really into like tech talks and I was watching NDC videos like religiously, got really into them. But I wasn't aware of any conferences I could go to, like my work weren't going to send me to one. And so someone twisted my arm and sort of encouraged me to go to DDD Southwest, which was on a Saturday. And it was just an amazing day. And through that, I then met one of the sponsors, Just Eat, who I now work for. And that like totally changed my life, basically. So I kind of felt I kind of owed it to the community to sort of pay it back. And then the following year, while I was commuting to work, I saw at the train station one of the organizers and was asking about when the next one would be. And it sort of unfolded that all the organizers are so busy with just, you know, family life and work and stuff, they didn't really have the capacity for it. So I was so eager to help. And at the time, my good friend Joseph Woodward as well, and we both offered to help. And that then brought the number of organizers up to 5, and then it was much more manageable. So we got it going again, basically. And yeah, I've been running ever since, obviously until this year. And I've also started to go around to other events just to get a flavor for what it's like. And I think I've been to all the UK-based ones except for Scotland. And I've probably spoken at somewhere about half. But yeah, absolutely love all the DDD events.
Yeah, I feel a bit bad because I've never made the trip up to DDD North and I keep on meaning to.
Are you sure? That's a good one, that is.
My favourite, actually, DDD North. Sorry, sorry, Jess.
Pete. traitor.
But, I think that was bad timing from my point of view as a rugby fan, because I think it was also like the Rugby World Cup semi-final with England, New Zealand on that morning. And it turned out all right for me in the end because I watched that and then came in and I managed to avoid the stuff you're likely to talk about shortly.
I need to go to DDD Southwest. I'm a Somerset girl. I can't believe I haven't gone to it.
I saw that on Twitter the other day. I can't believe that. Whereabouts?
I grew up in Nether Stowey, so about 8 miles outside of Taunton. Yeah.
Hey, I'm in Taunton. Yeah. Okay.
Funnily enough, the folks that were at the place I was working at back when I started doing DDDs, every single year without fail, they always went down to Bristol to Southwest. And I just always seem to be on holiday or busy or whatever. And to this day, I've never been able to be spare for that one. But I've been to nearly all the others, even when they're still going to Southwest. But yeah, although I like the sound of Scotland, but I don't think that one's run for a year or two, has it?
It's been taken over, funny enough. This came up. I've talked to the lady who's taking it over. But yeah, it's starting up again next year.
It sounded great. Like the year I almost went but didn't, they had like a creche and they had shorter talks but a longer day from what I could see. It looked awesome.
Yeah, all this talk about travelling and getting to them, we should probably start with the elephant in the room and COVID. So I guess...
What's that then?
one benefit, it means it's easier to get to. And it also means that, well, we've got a couple of organisers here. You don't have to organise all the food and drinks and everything. So I suppose that's one benefit. But I know, Jess, with DDD East Midlands, I saw that you had done a blog post about a decision to not do it virtual this year and postpone till next year.
Yeah, I mean, DDD East Midlands, might as well confront what Pete referred to earlier, but we are cursed. Our first event, we had a fire alarm go off. Not once, but twice during the first talk. It was raining. And then the second year we're going to run, there's a pandemic. So yeah, feeling great about this conference. It's doing fab.
I've got to say, Jess, although I said that Hull was my favourite, yours was the best organised DDD I've ever been to.
Oh, thank you.
It was fantastic.
You've got to say something about the Stuarts now as well. Otherwise, you know, you'll start sulking.
You know,
No. I was seriously impressed with the DDD Smittens. I had a notification on my phone that like the year anniversary of like us in the rain. But ironically, I was like, oh, I'd love to be back there, you know, given the situation
now. That's lovely. Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. So the first year was run just by myself and Morton. It was the first conference we had ever run. Morton is my other half in real life as well. So it was literally like all of our free time outside of work was the conference. It's amazing we're still alive. But yeah, with COVID, we did explore the route of going virtual, much like DDD Reading is in a few weeks. But we decided that one of our main focuses was to celebrate our local community. With East Midlands, we want to show off the amazing tech community we have here, the amazing tech companies. We've got over 30 meetups each month in just Nottingham alone, let alone Derby and Leicester and the rest. And we kind of wanted to pull talent into our area and also just have a bit of a party in our own right. And we thought we'd lose a lot of that with going virtual. Alongside that, there aren't that many benefits to sponsors in a virtual environment, which hits funding pretty badly, as it is a not-for-profit. And there's just so many virtual events right now that we didn't know what else we could offer that all the other conferences were. So we decided to postpone till next year, which hopefully will happen.
Yeah, we'll have to see what the impact of vaccines and whatever else happens. Yeah, I'm missing with .NET Oxford. It's working very well virtually, but it's not quite the same.
Yeah, the meetups seem to be doing well.
Yeah, I'm getting used to it now, but certainly the first time or so, it felt very strange indeed. Funnily enough, rather like I was sitting in a room talking to myself, which is like roughly what we're doing.
Well, I saw on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, there was someone who posted a picture of someone just like standing in front of a wall doing a talk, and they said, this is what Zoom, doing a talk on Zoom's like.
Yeah. In fairness, though, one small advantage I've noticed from going virtual, if it's a place that allows, you know, text messages and chat, you actually can sometimes get a bit more interaction with your audience than you can in person, because we've overcome that nerve factor of who wants to put the hand up and speak to the scary man at the front of the room.
It's woman. Like,
you know, oh, woman, sorry. Can I do that again?
You know, yeah, what?
I would just like to say that is a completely fair comment, and I've been called on that. Yeah, the scary person at the front of the room. So there have been a few conferences I've done where there's actually been some nice banter going back and forth with people just putting silly comments or whatever, and it's made it a little bit fun. It's better certainly than the proverbial sitting in a room talking to yourself.
Stuart, have you found some of the contracts have changed now? We've had force majeures changed on us now, so they don't include epidemics.
Oh, right.
Worth looking out for if you're trying to arrange for next year.
Yeah, no, because we usually do it in April, which means that we're not applying for next year. This year, unfortunately, with the timings, we pretty much got all the sponsorship we needed, but then had to turn around to sponsors and sort of cancel. But yeah, I'll have to watch out for that. We got really lucky. We got our deposit back and everything. This time around, you know, just gone.
I was going to pick up on what Simon said about the interactivity, and I think I've spoken about this before in the way we've gone virtual, and I think it's a context which it's difficult for some people, definitely difficult for speakers, but I think it has opened up the ability for people who would normally be a little bit worried about sort of standing up and asking a question that for the facility now in the chat to them. For them to just be able to type it in there, and perhaps it's even just a throwaway comment. But so long as the organisers are using the chat correctly, they can pick up on that and make a point out of it to the speaker. And I think it has made it a bit more accessible for introverts and people who are perhaps, you know, not quite as confident as others. And you can get more questions in that way as well, and you can tackle them in a big group rather than people thinking, oh, I don't want to ask my questions, I don't want to stop him or her. It's exactly it. So, funnily enough, I also just made the realisation that Simon and Stuart, you were the first two virtual guests for .NET Knots, as it happens. So I've just looked at the videos, and yeah, March, you talked about hacking C#, Simon, and Stuart talked about async. So that's funny.
I was just going to sort of half agree with you. So yeah, it makes it a bit easier for introverts in terms of can anonymously attend an event, I suppose. But one of the things that I found about DDD is, or the useful things about it is kind of pretty much in the pub afterwards. So you kind of meet up with people, and it's that's probably as useful as the talks themselves. So it's enjoyable, but it's also useful because you get talking to, like, you know, spoke to Pete, and it was all about IoT. And then when you need to know something about IoT, it's like I know the guy to ask. And it just kind of forms them contacts, and then the next thing is you look out for them names when they're speaking or whatever. So I think that kind of, I don't want to say it gets lost, but it's certainly changed a bit since everything's gone online.
I do question the accessibility point as well. So DDD East Midlands in particular, we're focused not just on developers, but also students, designers, anyone working within technology. And all of us here work as developers or very similar line of work. So we're very privileged in we've got good tech, we've got good webcams, good mics. But there's people in our community who can't necessarily afford the kind of technology where they can take place in, like, be very active in a virtual event. I say that because I had a problem at the beginning of COVID where I was working off my 3G phone, trying to code and be in meetings. And I just ended up having to skip a load of meetings because it was impossible. So I wonder if we're cutting out a big section of our community as well by being virtual.
Yeah, there's always a flip side, isn't there? Because we're also now able to have speakers from all over the world, but also speakers who are unable or unwilling to travel great distances because of financial commitments or family or whatever, but they can come for the 2 hours event and then go again, rather than perhaps in some cases for some of the meetups around. And obviously this is the same for DDD. I mean, DDD, that can turn into a 3-day holiday, if you will. Whereas now with it being virtual, you can just prep your talk, give it and then leave again. So that's definitely more accessible. And likewise for attendees, last night for instance we had people from Egypt and all over the world, and they were really grateful. But Paul's right as well, that pub or networking section at the end, I mean, we try and mimic that by keeping the call open, and crikey, we were open for about an hour and a half last night, I think, at .NET Knots. That's relatively unusual. And I know .NET Chef, I think they have like a virtual pub, I think, afterwards, and a few meetups do that. So that does try and mimic it. But Jess is right as well, I guess, if you haven't got tech or some people just aren't in that arena and don't know how to set it up even. I mean, we had quite a few people who typed a question into the chat and I said, well, just come off mute. And the response was, I don't have a microphone. So it's not something I've thought about in a great depth. So it's a really good point, Jess.
It's like Stuart said, my first conference I went to was NDC. I volunteered, which is the only way I could afford it, if I'm honest, at the time. But that was because I was already part of a community. So I was already going to meetups, etc. Somebody had said this conference was great. So I cheekily emailed them and said, are you looking for volunteers? Because I would love to do that. If you're not part of that community, it's not like just turning up and hoping for the best. I don't know how you would find the same sense of community online. I honestly don't.
One small advantage for me, though, I have technically this year managed to appear at conferences in Norway and in Sweden. That's probably something that wouldn't have been happening if it hadn't been for all of this.
Do you feel as well that there's... So for a new speaker who's trying to get into talking, do you think that suddenly they're overwhelmed with competition? So time was, like, I'm sort of close to Manchester, so I got the .NET North. And, if you wanted to talk at .NET North, it's fine. But now you're sort of competing with the likes of Scott Antleman and stuff, because they can talk at .NET North because it's on a Zoom call. It doesn't matter. And that's got to be intimidating for someone who's never spoken at a conference before.
Which, funny enough, leads into DDD East Midlands voting policy. Because I don't know how many of the other DDDs do this, but we have anonymous submission as well. So you submit a talk, title and description. That's all that gets shown to people who are attending and voting on the talks, which means that a new speaker can go up against Scott Hanselman. And as long as that talk hasn't been given before, nobody has a clue, which we did for that purpose, to try and give everybody a fair chance, no matter what their name or experience was.
I don't know if anyone was doing it before you, but I've definitely noticed one or two doing it since. I think the main DDD seems to have adopted, the Reading one, they seem to have adopted that policy now. I don't know whether they'll be doing it in the coming years once we all go back into the real world again, but does anyone know? Was anyone doing it before? I think...
We copied it from DDD Melbourne, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay.
There has been talk for years amongst organisers to do it. We haven't done it, but what we have done for years now is the voting is just a guideline. And anybody who kind of thinks, oh, well, you know, you're disregarding democracy or whatever, it's such a bias thing. Like, just even thinking about it really on a very light level, you'll realize how biased it is. Like, the most votes come in through people clicking on people's Twitter links. And so if you're a speaker, you tweet out to your group of friends, those people are going to see it, those people are going to click it. There's so much bias going on. And so already the people already established in what is like a male-dominated, you know, middle-aged white guy sort of occupation, it just exacerbates itself. So you have to like take that into regard when you're looking at the numbers. It's easy to look at it and go, oh, you know, this one's hugely popular, but actually what's the content? And what you're trying to put together is a good agenda, and a good agenda is varied in terms of content, in terms of new speakers, old speakers, and diversity in all of its forms. So you have to take all that into account. And just blindly taking the vote. I think most places now know that that's not what you do. But I think it would certainly emphasize that by just taking the names out of it.
We hold on to the right for 5 speakers, which I think works out to 20%. So if the balance doesn't look right, we're allowed to, it goes by rank still, so it'll still be like the most popular in their group. But for diversity reasons, for subject matter reasons, we hold 5 talks where we can jiggle it a bit. We've also made lots of efforts in going into different groups. So Coding Black Females are working with us next year. We went into Women in Tech last year to try and encourage people to go for that first time of speaking as well, and try and offer support. So the speakers workshop as well, which Pete knows about. We actually did a lot in the first year, now I come to think about it, but yeah.
I was going to say, I attended that one as well. It was terrific. I have to say, I enjoyed it a lot.
Jess, did you find with DDD East Midlands that even though people that submitted talks shouldn't have told people that they were doing a talk, that people were tweeting anyway, or did people adhere to it quite well?
No, people adhered to it very well. We even had 2 people change their titles because basically we sold the idea to them of why we were doing it. We had 1 person who we just commented to them privately to go, do you mind just rejigging it a little bit so we can make it more anonymous? But otherwise, everybody did it off their own back. They were really, really helpful with that.
It's interesting because you got, I think it was DDD North, maybe, actually consciously went out and asked people to tweet and promote their own sessions, which I found was interesting to get. It was still voted on, but it wasn't anonymous, of course. But I kind of didn't want to do that. But then when they consciously tweeted out, do it, I guess they wanted to make sure that they had enough people registering for the event more than anything, so I can sort of see why they'd want that. But yeah, it's really interesting. I didn't realize that you had to do that. I was kind of, while you were saying that, I was thinking, I'm hoping I didn't, but I'm guessing that if I did, you'd have told me.
I would have. So
the problem with that is once you get to kind of know people in the industry, you kind of know who's going to give a certain type of talk. In fact, there was a thread on Twitter the other day about that, and someone was saying just that, because I think in the online one, they sort of said, well, don't give your name. You don't have to. There's certain people who give a certain type of talk, and you can pretty much recognise it from just the subject.
Yeah, people that do the same type of clickbait. There's one talk I can think of particularly, but I won't mention names.
Hopefully they're not on this podcast.
No, none of them not.
The descriptions was actually the hardest thing. I had to manually go through and make sure there's no job titles, no reference to name, like nothing that would give it away, which it was fine, but it was a lot of manual labour, if I'm honest.
Yeah, because if you do it through Sessionize, it pretty much just says, do you want to resubmit this talk you've already submitted? So like the absolute default is yeah, and then whatever you put, if you've got your name and job title in, it just kind of goes through to the next thing. So it, that, like you say, I mean, I saw a few on the online one where it's actually got names and stuff in, because all they've done is they've just gone into Sessionize and gone to use this session.
And you can't edit it once you've hit that submit button from a speaker's point of view either. You have to contact the organizer for them to submit it, which I thought they'd fixed actually in Sessionize, but I wanted to change mine for the festive tech calendar a couple of times just to add bits and extra to it. I thought, oh, I know they've changed that, but they really haven't. So I'm guessing, as Jess has just said, it's a manual process for the organisers to have to deal with that stuff. You'd have thought that you could sort of, as an organiser, release it back to the speaker for them to modify and then send it back again, even if it's not editing it live and saving it, which is fraught with all sorts of difficulties and risks. It's a shame they're missing that functionality. They seem to be missing the functionality of cancelling a blooming event at the minute. I can't seem to cancel one either.
If anybody wants to write a script to do this for us, you know, please do.
No, just one other thing about DD voting. Now, I'm a fairly new speaker, and I'd like someone awesome like Pete, who has a specialisation, that's his thing, and that's what he does. that's great. I don't have a thing, as it were. I don't have a thing that I specialise in. When it comes to tech, I'm like a dog chasing cars. It's like, oh, that's cool. I want to do that. That is so cool. And then at the moment, I've got about 5 or 6 things that I think are the coolest thing in the entire world. Contradictory as that sounds, it's also true. And I never really know what it is people are interested in hearing me talk about, because I will waffle on quite happily about all sorts of topics at length for some time. So when you're still trying to establish yourself like I am, it is nice to be able to just say, here's 5 talks I'm thinking about doing. You lot all let me know. You, the community, tell me what you want. What are you interested in? What do you want to hear about? And so then what I can do is I can spend a summer or so really working on the talk a lot, and then come in with a whole load of material that hopefully I've already got an audience that's voted for and actually wants to come in and hear me talk about this thing. I mean, I've only done about 3 talks so far, but I've got plenty of other ideas on the back burner, and it's nice to be able to sound them out, as it were, and even better anonymously, really. Probably everyone say, oh no, it's that guy again, and just I'd never get a vote.
Simon, I've seen your talks. I don't think that's the case at all.
your talks were amongst some of the most technical that I've seen. You dig deep into stuff, I think. Didn't you do a talk on functional programming for us, I think? And you do...
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And then the hacking C# stuff. It's deep talks that you do. So you obviously like the technical detail, and you don't often get that. Quite a lot of this sort of abstractions and high-level stuff, which is fine as well. But
no, I mean, we've all got our niche. But yeah, I being a developer, I live way down in the weeds. That's where I live, down in the detail. I also do the one that seems to promote hunger in anyone that watches it, the one about Jane Austen and breakfast cereal.
I was just thinking that, actually. I think in this one, I think 80% of your slides were pictures of different cereals. When you did the .NET Oxford, I had to go and get some cereal afterwards. So I went and got some, I think one of your slides was Sugar Puffs. So I had to go and find some Sugar Puffs or something.
Nice.
Luckily, my kids have Sugar Puffs. I don't normally eat Sugar Puffs, but we had them in.
So if we have Simon for a speaker, we need to have a cereal bar at our conferences, is what you're telling us.
Basically, yes.
And funnily enough, that particular one was heavy, like, to Kate's point, that was a fairly heavy mathsy developy one. And actually, that was just me having fun. Because, yeah, we're developers. This is what we do. We spend all day coding, then we go home. And when there's time, we spend more time coding because we enjoy it.
So, so lucky to be in an industry which we get paid a reasonable amount and we love it. It's kind of, and I think that's one thing I love about the DDD conferences. It shows that all the attendees love what they do. I really liked Paul's point earlier about now gone virtual, it's harder to, for new speakers, it's harder to get into it. Because when I first started speaking, I started with .NET Oxford, my own user group, doing the intro talks. Then I did a couple of lightning talks and full talks at my own user group. But then it was DDD that I branched off and did a conference talk. So that's the only, I've only done conference talks at the DDD conferences. And I hadn't, until Paul mentioned it, I hadn't actually thought about the fact that now it's virtual, or not really the DDD ones, but more the user group ones, but specifically, you're competing with the likes of Scott Hanselman, because it's easier for them to do a talk anywhere on the planet. And like at .NET Oxford, we've had Scott Hanselman, Scott Hunter, which we would not have got if it wasn't for being virtual.
Jess, weren't you on the same poster as Scott Hanselman? For one of the events.
Yeah, it was. which was in my, just over my first year of speaking. Yeah, God, I forgot about that, you know. That happened.
I'll never forget that. That and the fact that, of course, you did your first event and didn't you then get invited on the .NET Rocks podcast afterwards? I mean,
yeah,
just fabulous.
My first full-blown conference talk was NDC London, and I did .NET Rocks on the same day, and I did a third thing as well. I think I did a meetup, a conference talk, and .NET Rocks all in one day as my first kind of foray into public speaking.
You're awesome.
And then I did...
In at the deep end.
Yeah, and I did 9 talks that year globally, and then I slept for a month.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, my first time public speaking was DDD East Anglia, and I still look forward to going back to that one just because I have a special spot in my heart for that one, it being my first, and I have to admit it was sort of 50 minutes of just pure adrenaline, followed by collapsing quietly in a corner, happy but exhausted.
That was the one I was referring to earlier. That was my first DDD as an attendee. It was that East Anglia one. I can't remember when that would have been. I'm sure it would have been around like 2012 or 2013. I'm sure I could look on my Google photos. That's the great thing. You said that you couldn't find your... Was it you, Paul, saying you were unable to find your photos? I love it. I just upload everything to Google Photos and I can just scroll back. And although they're going to start charging us for that now, but...
I probably have got a picture somewhere of the screens and stuff, but the only real documentation I had of going was like tweets that I sent out at the time. Because one of the things about, I don't know what, I've only ever really been to DDD North. I was about to go to the East Midlands one, but for some reason got cancelled. But yeah, they just used like a hashtag, and then if you kind of want to do anything, you kind of got to be on Twitter and follow the hashtag, otherwise... stuff happens and you don't know about it.
Did I see sneakily appearing in the Google Docs at the last minute that you had planned to do DDD Manchester?
I had, yeah. So I got talking to the guys who organise East Anglia, actually, because I see them at DDD North pretty much every year. And I got talking and had a few pints, and I was sort of saying it was annoying that there was nowhere kind of near us, because Hull is kind of a bit of a trek, and I actually found out, oddly, that East Midlands is closer to me than DDD North is, but anyway, there's nothing in Manchester, so we got talking, and like, well, just organise one. So I was like, well, who do you kind of have to go and like speak to? And he said, hey, you just do it, and then you call it DDD, and that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. The Australians were laughing at us because, our Australian contacts gave us most of our advice at the beginning. And we were like, oh, do we have to get sign off? What happens? Like, oh, yeah, if you don't, then Scott Goo arrives in his helicopter. You get taken away in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so, it was that. I had this weird conversation with them where I was like, yeah, but you must have to, where'd you get your banners from and all this? And they're like, just haven't made. And I was like, but what about, like, all of this other stuff, and like, you just do it yourself. Everything you just do yourself, and then it's done. So anyway, I sort of went through the process, and I kept on putting it off, and then last year, I think tail end of last year, I started looking around at venues, found a venue that I was reliably told was relatively cheap, found a couple of people who said yeah, they'd sponsor it, and then obviously coronavirus and then everything started to kind of go shaky. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to carry on with this until I've got some more ideas. Because this was sort of Jan-Feb time, and everyone was sort of saying, well, I'm not sure now. And then obviously everyone went, no, absolutely not.
I've considered in the past, not necessarily DDD, but either DDD or some form of conference. But then because I'm running like .NET Oxford, and doing like a 2-hour event takes enough time. So... doing an all-day thing, I can't imagine the work that goes into it. So, like, not finding a venue for, like, 2 hours, but finding a venue for the entire day, all the sponsors, food, like, food and drinks. I don't know how much you have to do with accommodation. And then planning the tracks, deciding who goes into what track. It must be quite an undertaking.
I'd be interested to know what Jessica thinks being, undertaking it most recently, but yeah, it's like a massive amount of work. I had no idea when I was signing up for it. And I'm joining a group of five organisers. Now we've got six. And then it's manageable. But yeah, with just the two of you, for example, or Dan, if you were to start it on your own, like I don't know. That just, that'd be so much work. Not to discourage anyone from doing it. I think everyone, well, not everyone. I think people should do it. But yeah, just, I know. What's your thoughts, Jessica?
I'm kind of watching Pete's face here because I co-organized a meetup with him, so he knows what I'm like. But yeah, I mean, it worked out well for us because we split the responsibilities, first of all. So Morten does all of the accounting and the businessy stuff. I've dealt with the first year, I dealt with all the sponsors, all the contracts, all of the finding venue, finding out how much we're going to get paid from who, what we needed to do. So all the lead up, because we were quite well organized about it, was fine, to be honest. I found it quite manageable. But I do have a crazy amount of adrenaline, as poor old Pete has had to put up with my control freakness recently.
That's the only reason I brought you on. I need adrenaline. I needed plenty of that.
We couldn't have done it without the army of volunteers on the day before and the day of, though. Like, all of the prep, those 2 days are manic. And we had a really great team of volunteers throughout the whole thing.
I hadn't even thought that much about the accounting side of things as well, because with Donut Oxford, because we've got sponsors and they pay for the, well, they paid for the venue and all the drinks and refreshments. So from my point of view, I didn't have to deal with money at all. So I don't know whether you've had to set up a dedicated company.
Yeah, dedicated not-for-profit. We've got an accountant. We have to do all of the paperwork around that as well, including like yearly tax reviews and that kind of thing. It's part of the reason why Morten and I were interested in running a conference as well, because it taught us more about self-employment, to be honest.
Out of curiosity, if it's not too cheeky question, how much does it cost to run a DDD?
Depends on the DDD.
That was very nicely avoided.
It's like you've got a career in politics there, Jess.
Yeah.
Ours is expensive because our venue's expensive.
Really? It is a very lush venue, I have to admit. It's very nice.
I think, it depends on the venue, at the cost as well. And this year, last year, DDD Cambridge had it change on them. Like, they had a venue lined up, and then I can't remember how short notice it was, but it was something crazy. Like, I think it was even like 2 weeks or something as short as that. Their venue just like pulled out on them, and they had to find another venue. And like, the costs around Cambridge for that sort of thing on a Saturday is a lot. And yeah, they were in a bit of a tricky spot.
Quite a few DDDs are hosted in universities as well, aren't they? Or educational facilities.
A Hull definitely is.
Yeah, that was my first gambit when I thought about Manchester. I thought, University of Manchester, but I got talking to somebody there and I'll just say it wasn't to be.
And Jess, you mentioned earlier about the upcoming DDD Day 2020, which I think that's organised by Robert Hogg, Andrew Westgarth and Rip Hepworth. That's on the 12th of December, so that one is going to be virtual. So has everyone got their tickets? I booked mine yesterday, so I can definitely include a link in the show notes for anyone that wants to attend that one.
I've been trying to figure out how hungover I'm going to be after Pete's gathering.
Yeah, we might need to keep that out as well. I don't want people to feel...
sorry.
It's kind of a... No, it's all right. It doesn't matter. It's good. I didn't know. You did ask me this, didn't you, Dan, as to whether or not you wanted... Yeah, but the people we're not inviting are going to go, hey, what the frack, man? That was my invite to that. And I have had so many people go, why haven't you invited X? Don't know who they are. Well, they spoke at DDD. When? About 1930. that's the reason why I didn't know. So this grown, and we've invited now, I don't know if you saw, we've invited Claire Smith and Adam Jackson as well along, because I think they're involved with that DDD coming up, the Reading, as you will, one of that. So they're involved in that. I think they're part of the organising committee for that. So I've invited them, and they're also good fun. So
this is going to be like...
they'll hopefully be able to join us as well.
An entire new DDD, isn't it? The day before.
Yeah. But I mean, the reason why I've not invited everybody is because I wanted to kind of mimic the speaker dinner that we had. And I know the speaker dinner was in inverted commas, because we invited like friends along to that that weren't speaking as well. I know, Paul, you've been along to a few of those without speaking, just as an example. And we, I like that. I like the fact that we
can just go anywhere where there's beer.
Yeah, exactly. but to try and invite everybody into a Zoom call, it would be, it would ruin, I think, if we had 60 or 80 people in there. I think we'd lose that let's all meet in the Indian and talk to each other vibe. It would just be unmanageable to try and talk to each other. You'd have to split off into rooms or something. Whereas if there's, I don't know, what have we got, 30 of us? I think even that's going to be tipping the balance as to how inclusive we can be, because not everybody is as loud as I am. And I can put people off, so.
Yeah, I don't know if you went to the MVP Summit pub, but they did that pretty well. They had a few different split rooms, and I was on it way too late, but it was really good fun.
Yeah, I went on and got drunk with Dylan Beattie, I think.
Funnily enough, I think this will actually be the first social, one of the first socials I'm ever attending. The reason being, they normally happen in the evenings, and there isn't actually a DDD all that local to me, because I'm from Telford. In fact, East Mids is the nearest to me. So, and I've got fairly small children, so for the last year or two, it's been more of a priority to me to get back home to help my wife to wrangle the kids into bed and all the usual sorts of things. So I unfortunately haven't really been able to take part in the social. I kind of feel like I've missed out on that. So for once, it's going to be quite nice to actually just chill for a little bit and hang out.
Paul was absolutely right. It is one of the highlights, and kind of the reason why I go and stay at those events is for that social side. And although I've not been doing it for all of them that many years, and there's people that have, it really is awesome. It sort of relaxes you, actually, if you're a speaker. And it tends to be mostly speakers, let's be honest, at those events. Because everybody has got the same horror stories that you're thinking is going to happen to you. And it will go wrong if it can go wrong. And everybody else has had that. But the atmosphere at DDD, to take it to a different level, is so good that, and the attendees are generally so good that it doesn't matter too much if it does go wrong. Because everybody else has had that happen and everybody's seen it happen, but people tend to be a lot more relaxed rather than at something like NDC, where they've perhaps paid thousands of pounds and now there's pressure on you to deliver thousands of pounds worth of content to. And of course, the voting mechanism was there a voting mechanism at DDDEM, Jess? I can't remember. Did we vote?
Yes, we do the same process as NDC, so the red, yellow, green.
Yeah, but not every DDD does that. In fact, I don't remember any doing that aside from yours. And in a way, that non-voting mechanism is good for speakers because they don't walk out and see 100 red slips in their box and then wonder what went wrong without the feedback mechanism. So I don't know, there's pluses and minuses for that, I guess. But if you've done it, Jess, then it must be a good idea.
There's a couple of reasons why we did it. A, it was the first conference, so we wanted to gauge what topics were interesting to people. So it gave us an idea of attendance in each room, as well as how well the talk was taken. The other reason is because we had a number of newer speakers. So we wanted to be able to go out and give them feedback if they did get a higher degree of red or yellows, and see how we could further support them going forward. Because we didn't really want them doing a bad talk and that putting them off for the rest of their life. So there was a few different reasons why we did that. But as you say, the difference between something going wrong in a DDD compared to an NDC, I was so emotional during those fire alarms because we didn't really have any dropout. Everybody stayed. And that's 40 minutes in the rain. I can't believe how amazing it was for all those people to stand there and then come back. Though quite a few of them did go to the pub, and I can't blame them for that.
But there was the phrase umbrella talk and umbrella friends coined
umbrella
after that.
Friends,
and
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And some people actually went and bought umbrellas and then stood next to people that didn't have them. I mean, I joked earlier about the fact that I was watching the rugby and I missed it and I was happy. I wasn't. When I heard about that, that community spirit that you're talking about, that's the feeling I get specifically when I go to DDD, that perhaps I don't see at NDC, but I mean, I've only volunteered once at NDC. So I went to the pub conf afterwards and it was really good. But I don't know, the community spirit you get out of DDD is completely different to anything I've ever been to before. Sort of everybody's, there's like a club atmosphere with it almost, where we're all invested in making this a good event as an attendee or a speaker or an organiser.
Rizwana Akmal did make posters of "I survived DDD Smidlands," which I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I have to admit, I've had a nice time. I've had really nice feeling from the audience whenever I've spoken there. I mean, before I did my first talk at East Anglia, I'd heard horror stories from a colleague who tried doing public speaking, and he'd had that guy, you know, that guy in the audience. I think you'll find that guy. And I was thinking, oh God, what? But no, every time I've tried speaking at DDD, the audience have been lovely. Really lovely. They've even been polite and tried their hardest to laugh at my stupid jokes. They forced it for my benefit. It's lovely of them.
Did you bring spare cereal just for those that were getting hungry?
I have not yet done that one in person. I think I had it all lined up ready to try something, and it just never, it's obviously COVID has happened for quite a while now, but I had this idea, I know, I'll get myself like this fancy Regency costume and I'll turn up and make a whole big thing of it, but it's probably a push too far, but I'm looking forward to trying that at some point.
What's the worst thing that's happened at DDD Southwest?
I'm trying to think now. I don't suppose many big disasters. I've had a speaker arrive like with minutes to spare before their talk, like first thing in the morning, and like that was a bit had the adrenaline running. We've had some minor slip ups. Like, I've made some mistakes. I've made some really silly things. One year, I forgot how many rooms we had, and I just I got the speakers all lined up, and everyone's like, "How many speakers?" I was like, "Yeah, you know, 25, five rooms." I'm like, "We have four rooms. We've always had four rooms." I was like, "Oh." I just forgot the number. Yeah, going back to the feedback thing, speaker feedback, that is some like an interesting one. It's definitely something you want as a speaker. We've been lucky in that one of our previous organizers had built a little app, a little web app called Pocket DDD. And if you leave feedback, you're in a draw. And every time you leave feedback, you get another ticket to the draw at the end. So we have like a giveaway. But that's enough to incentivize people to go on and leave feedback. So you usually get a lot of feedback. And I've never needed to moderate it. It's all been good. Like, some of it's not been the best feedback. Like, the room was hot. The speaker's like, okay. No, but on the most part, you know, it is constructive feedback. And we've always been, well, not always, but near enough been able to give it like, on the Monday following the event, because, you know, usually on the Sunday you just want to sleep. And I don't blame other events where it's written on bits of paper and people have asked days later, can I have that, like, you know, can you email me the feedback? And it's like, you know, you can't expect people to write all that out. I think some events did, like, so DDD Southwest, that was actually something that was done manually before this. People actually collated all the feedback and typed it up, which is mad.
I just wanted to second what had already been said, that the feedback is incredibly helpful. I've said before, but, you know, I'm pretty new to public speaking. So for me especially, just to get some sort of a feel for am I doing it right, or even just to know that I'm doing it right occasionally is really nice. It's just good to hear something back from the audience.
I'm personally not entirely sold on just the tickets. And that's, I mean, part of that's driven by volunteering at NDC, where I watched what were perfectly good talks, and yet people were putting red tickets in there, and sometimes people were just pranking people. They picked up a bunch of red tickets off the and just put it in. And some people left, like, clearly they didn't understand. They left within minutes. Clearly they were in the wrong talk, and put a red ticket in the box. Well, I mean, what are you doing that for? Whereas the first time I saw a different system was at PHPM. So I think that was Matt Brunt and Sean O'Hare, was it? Sean Hare. They organised that with James Hodgson, and they had just an app a bit like what Stuart said was talking about there, I think. But yeah, you left a wordy review. Obviously, there's a risk of it not being anonymous, but you didn't leave your name. It was literally just, you know, what did you reckon to the talk, and you could write words. And I find that way more beneficial than just a red ticket in a box.
It depends, though, because it's not the anonymity that's the problem. It's more the moderation, as Stuart kind of hinted to. So I've gone to a conference, I'm not going to name them, and the feedback I got was not only not constructive, it was just downright rude. Like, it was insulting. And it wasn't anything to do with my content or anything. A lot of it was very personal. So to have to go through and moderate those kind of comments, I can't imagine the amount of work that might take.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, so the last couple of years I've done the moderation on our side. But yeah, I honestly thought I'd have to take stuff out, and we've been lucky, I think. I think there have been a couple I've taken out. They haven't been too rude, just not been constructive. But yeah, that's it. There are some certainly that aren't concerned. So we let people leave 1 to 10 on the technical content, and then 1 to 10 on the sort of delivery of it, like the speaker's feedback. And then a text box for people to put stuff in. And sometimes, yeah, it's like if it's about the room, for example, yeah, we take that out and we're like, yeah, that's for us. So we got that one. That's on us. But yeah, most of it has been constructive. But we put a comment around it saying, like, remember, these are people, they're going to see it, you know, pretend you're face to face because they're going to read it and they have feelings. So.
Certainly at Hull, at DDD North, they left slips. I think they did it at Reading as well, in the room, and you filled them out and they went in a hat and they drew for a prize at the end. But Jess is right, there must be an enormous amount of work involved in not only just typing that up into a spreadsheet or whatever, but also moderating it. So yeah, it's a really valid point. Yeah, it's difficult, but I don't know. I think certainly if you're a new speaker, there's an upside and a downside. A, you do want constructive feedback. It's really important, I think, if there's parts of your talk that you could improve on, that somebody can give you feedback on, that perhaps they're not quite confident enough to come and speak to you in your face, then that's great. But the last thing you want is to get a really negative, non-constructive comment that then puts you off for life. So there's a massive balancing act. And even a constructive comment put the wrong way can do that, can't it? So it's a really good point.
Yeah, definitely. I would always advocate for having someone who has at least spoken at an event try and do that moderation for you. So go and ask another speaker to come and attend your talk, give you feedback. It's what I've done. It's what I've done for other people, and I'm always happy to do it. But at least then it's not just somebody going, if I was doing this, but they've never actually experienced it. And it also means that if they've got the experience of it, they can account for things like nerves, it being a bad day, that kind of thing, because we've all been there.
I think also it's quite nice when and get comments saying something you've said that they've learned something from it. Like, say, maybe you mentioned a specific thing that they didn't know, or maybe the whole talk, but just, I think that's why we, as speakers, we do these talks. It's to educate and to pass on our knowledge and to know that the audience has actually come away and learned something new. That means quite a lot to hear.
100%.
Semi off topic, but one of the highlights of my speaking career was appearing on one of Ian Johnson's sketch notes once.
Yes. We'll definitely include a link to those in the show notes. They're amazing.
They are brilliant.
He's awesome.
There was a, I went to a virtual conference recently put on by Skills Matter, who disappeared for a bit and then they've reformed now during the worst possible time ever, of course. So, I'll be interested to see how that pans out. But they had Ian on his own dedicated channel. And so you could watch Ian live sketch note with the speaker. Oh. And he was on for like 8 hours. It was more than 8 hours. It was like a solid 12 hours with like no break, just him sketching away. It was awesome.
That's brilliant.
No way. That's amazing.
I just wanted to say about that feedback from people afterwards and the tweets that you get back. And I mean, obviously, you know that I talk about IoT quite a lot, and I've had quite a few people pick up on the micro bit parts of my talk, specifically that they don't realize that exists. And a lot of these people admittedly have got children, and they'll come away from my talk that includes part about the micro bit, and they'll go, I went and bought one of them and now I bought all these bits. And they'll send me DMs of their kids starting to code with these things. And I find that awesome. And of course, I mean, there we are. Look, so case in point, Dan is now holding up a micro bit, the same sort of thing. And I've had that several times. I know John Hilton, he spoke at DDD North. That was my first DDD speaking. And he spoke exactly after me. So he sat in my room and watched that, and he sent me photos. And that experience as a speaker, and I mean, obviously mine's just that level, and Simon's mentioned his as well, but we speak so that we can sort of democratize that information. And I think it's really important that new speakers understand that there's no level of information that people don't want to hear. Your experiences are unique to you. And if you've learned something from it, then chances are other people can learn from your experiences as well. So it's really important that organisers get that across to new speakers that are perhaps scared of, no one wants to hear about what I learnt. If you've managed to learn something, then it's important. And I'd be very surprised if that doesn't get taken on by other people as well. So, yeah.
You kind of hinted on this, but the thing I always go back to is, yes, you might have the same knowledge or somebody might know more than you on a topic, but nobody has the same experience as you. So you're going to perceive it in a different way. You're going to have learnt it in a different way. And that's going to help someone else who might listen to one of the big famous speakers, but it not quite click. Everybody's experience is unique.
And to be honest, the way I see it is most of the information that we present is something you could probably look up in a book if you were so inclined. But what we're doing is we're performing it, as it were. We're performing it on a stage in hopefully an entertaining and easy to get into way, and that's what we're bringing to the table, if you see what I mean.
I know everybody learns differently. I know I learn very differently to a lot of people. I can't just read something. I've got to actually do it. And so I'll then write blog posts or write talks in a way that I think I learn. And hopefully then that gels with people that also learn that same way in maybe a more visual, practical, mechanical way rather than the way of just being able to read it and take it in and then use it, which I'm always in awe of people that can do that. But there's also a little element of, and after that, you simply do this, which I try never to do and never skip out steps I think shouldn't be obvious. And that's what you find from a lot of study blog posts and things. They skip out this piece and you get stuck and now you don't know what to do. And that's the end of your journey. So stuff like that, I think you can deliver that as a speaker and give people the parts that they're missing, perhaps.
I think also if something's missing from a talk, but it's in person or Zoom where you have a pub session afterwards, you can go and ask that speaker in conversation afterwards, or you add the questions at the end, you can just ask. Where if you're reading a book, if you don't get it, then it's kind of like you've not got that interaction that you have when going to these events.
I love it when people do that and I don't have the answer as well, because it gives me something that I haven't thought about. And I go, okay, I'm going to look into that. I will get back to you with an answer, but it's something I didn't even consider. And I really like that.
Yeah, if for nothing else, I do love it when someone comes to me after this, when I'm just packing up my goodies and comes with an extra few questions or just to talk about this or the other. I really, really enjoy that part of it. So that's not scripted.
You need to put your DDD back on, Stuart. I want to go back down to Bristol. It's been a while.
We will, yeah.
I've got family down on the other side of the, what is it, the M4 down there, M6? What is it that goes down past Bristol?
I don't know.
It's that motorway. Surely Stuart knows, it's from down there. But either way, down there, I've got family on the other side, so it'd be a really good excuse. And I've not been to that one, embarrassingly either, so that would be good to have an excuse to go down there. Are there any DDDs all the way down sort of Exeter direction? Is there anything down there?
Devon Way, no.
Interesting.
I mean, when you get down to the southwest of the country, it becomes a bit sparse anyway, like Plymouth University, Exeter University, but like nothing in between.
The first DD Southwest was actually in Taunton, which
really?
Is... I know, I couldn't believe it. And it was before I knew anything about it, and I couldn't believe it. I went back in Taunton, but never
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, Vivery Park.
I know, imagine.
That would be great.
No, I've not been either. For some reason, I've tried for the last few, but it always seems to be on a school holiday. Is that deliberate or is it just a coincidence?
We deliberately try and avoid it, but we clearly fell. We tried to.
Ah, well, in fairness, school holidays are different all over the country, aren't they?
We look it up and then we look up sporting events and we look up all these holidays and try to line them as well, because we're dealing with a school or college even. And we're sometimes dealing with their caterers, and their caterers are like, you can't get a hold of them. So we try and make sure we leave a buffer like away from the holidays so that we can at least talk to them before the event, right before. So yeah, we try and get it right, but clearly we always do wrong. But yeah, I'm sorry.
it's probably our strange Midland school holidays or something like that, or I don't know, but I'll definitely be heading down at some point. I'm looking forward to that one.
The dates are a struggle, though, because you've got school holidays, you've got like so many different things, and they've all gone up ahead. I know that we have to deal with wedding season because the venue gets booked up for weddings. So you have to try and avoid that. And you've got other events, so you don't want to clash with another DDD or be too close to them. Like, finding a date is really difficult.
This sounds like a full job, and organisers are doing this for free in their own spare time. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, be kind to your organisers.
Definitely. So,
please feed the organisers.
Cool. So we normally do dev tips at the end, but given there's so many of us, we'll probably skip it this time. And I completely forgot to ask everyone beforehand anyway. I'll definitely include in the show notes all links to all the DDDs, and especially the upcoming one that's on the 12th of December.
When does the agenda for that get published? Does anyone know?
The submissions are finished and there's voting. So I think they're going to start announcing to the people who've submitted like now. And I think the agenda is going to be a couple of days.
I've just checked. I've not been accepted yet. It's still in evaluation. So
same for me, yeah. But they did tweet and say they were going to announce the agenda soon. So yeah, I guess you're right there. They'll be contacting speakers shortly, hopefully.
Are there still tickets available? I can't find the link.
I assume it's an infinite amount of tickets, but I might be naive there.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose it's only limited by the platform now. It used to be an issue. We had to sort of release them in waves because they'd sell out all on day one otherwise.
Yeah, that's what DDD North always did, like two or three waves, I think.
As you say, though, depending on what Zoom license they've got, there's no reason for them to put a limit on.
Yeah, there's still tickets. I can see a register button still there, so.
Okay, this is surely a mistake. I've got four talks and they've all been accepted.
Oh,
Are they all at the same time as well?
Oh yeah, one of mine's been accepted.
This is where I find out I've been rejected.
Where are you checking? Just directly on Sessionize?
They must be doing it right this second, because I've still got one. I've got one accepted and one in evaluation. So
oh god, yeah, I've been accepted for four. My god. Oh my goodness, that's gonna be a busy
it's Simon Day.
You've got a day.
That's gonna be a busy day.
Yeah, the Simon Painter track. Yes.
I think I'll need a drip of caffeine.
Are you ready for veins, like hungover hecklers as well?
I've had two accepted. It's two. Yeah, I've got put two accepted.
Apparently, mine's been accepted as well. So I don't know. Maybe this is broken.
No way. What's your talk, Paul? Sorry.
The one I was going to do at Nottingham, I did it in Sheffield as well, about Azure Service Bus.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Mine's .NET 5 and C# 9.
Nice.
So, a broad topic. But I've got nothing. I've got to get going now. It's like now I've just got to get down and nice. Get it all done.
Right. I've got a .NET 5 robot, Raspberry Pi robot that I'm talking about. And then my IoT with nothing but your laptop talk. So I kind of... If they just want us to choose one, I might just do that one because I've done that a million times. I don't have to prep anything.
I thought about submitting, but editing, no time.
yeah, that's it. Your month's gone. Forget Christmas.
Okay, I think I know what I'm doing for the next few evenings.
I've got my ticket now, so I can come see all of you.
That might be physically impossible. Well, actually, I was going to say that might be physically impossible, but given that it's virtual, I'm guessing you can see three talks at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, screening room.
I did that at the MVP conference.
Cool. So a massive thank you all for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
I can add the music on later.
Oh, I thought you were going to sing it then.
You've got a guitar behind you, haven't you? So have I, but yes, do a I duet. Do. And then...
Hey, and I've got a keyboard behind me.
Oh, perfect. I was looking at that earlier, in that obviously I can see that you've got guitar behind you, Dan, and Jess has got her guitar. Normally I'd have mine, but my wife is a guitar teacher and she stole it.
Isn't this sort of how UB40 got formed?
There we are. Look at that. Perfect.
Peter, you can join in on kazoo.
Yeah, that'll work. Tambourine. I could play the guitar, but...
Can everyone hold up their instruments and take a screenshot?
Oh, jeez. I'll go and get it.
What, should I just pick the piano up? No, just a second.
Unless you want me to get the banjo out. Oh, not even sure if this is in tune at the minute. Yeah, that's not too bad.
Mine's out of tune.
Big cheesy grins.
Hey, hold on.
Pete's faded into Pete? A chair.
You're doing that all evening, forgetting me. Hold on, I need to turn the background off. Oh, look at this.
Paul, have you got some spoons?
Yeah, that'll work.
Do you know what? My daughter's got my old guitar upstairs. Say my old guitar, like. It's a guitar I bought off a bloke in a pub for 100 quid, but I never learned how to play it.
As you can probably tell, we had such good fun recording that episode. I'll include a link in the show notes to that musical instrument photo screenshot that we took. And a quick reminder that this podcast is sponsored by Everstack, providing software development and consultation services. For more information, see everstack.com.